Come around the word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We exalt you. We thank you that you've given your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful gift and something that we are always appreciative of, and we rejoice about that in the name of Jesus. Help us to see, show us what you would have us to know this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I'm going to be speaking on receive God's blessing. Receive God's blessing. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It comes from John 3:16. Let's have a look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. God has sent the Saviour of the world, and now the commandment is for all men to receive him. And by receiving him, there is the receiving of blessing as well. Ephesians 2 verse 1, this shows the desperate need that people have for the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people, obviously, who are in the world, and they're certainly not thinking along the lines of pleasing the Lord or doing God's will or understanding anything about the Bible or even thinking that the Bible is true. Nevertheless, they are in this situation. Starting verse 1, it says, "And you," we're talking to Christians here, "hath he quickened," which means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." The important thing for us to see is that if you're outside of Christ, in God's eyes you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Now the word death doesn't mean extinguished. The word dead means separated. So there are people all over this planet, all over this city, who are dead or separated from God in trespasses and sins. That's the spiritual reality. And the Bible says that before we were Christians, before we were quickened or made alive or received the life of God into our hearts, before that glorious gospel came, we in time past walked according to the course of this world. Now that tells us something. It tells us that the course of this world is going in the exact opposite direction to the direction God wants people to go in. So if you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're not going to be thinking correctly, and you have to acknowledge that you need the Saviour. Because you cannot by your own efforts, you cannot by your own works work your way to heaven. You can't earn God's forgiveness. You can't earn God's blessings. We were, outside of Christ, we were not deserving of any of that. But in Christ, we have all things. We are, the Bible says, joint heirs with Christ. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Now, that's a big statement, isn't it? Without me, you can do nothing. And that also tells us that if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then if we're not going along the way of Jesus, then we're going along a different path, the course of this world, the Bible says. Have a look at Romans 3, verse 23. You see, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was to deal with this sin problem, to give mankind eternal life through his death and resurrection. He died for us. The Bible is very clear about that. He died for the whole world. But of course, that gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, cannot be received if people don't believe that they are dead in trespasses and sins, or they don't believe that the Saviour has dealt or taken the sins of mankind upon himself. So there's no response from them. But God wants people that are willing. God wants people that are very willing. And it says in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then verse 24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace." Grace means his divine favour and enabling. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is a way to come to God. Let me repeat that. Even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is a way to come to God. There is a way to be justified or made right in God's eyes. And that's through the redemption that's provided freely, provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The love of God to send Jesus, for God so loved the world. And that's wonderful to realise that love was freely given, not on the basis of us deserving it or earning it, but on the basis of his love. Now, you'll remember that sin entered the world through man's disobedience. Okay, and the curse came through that as well. Have a look at Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. Now, we've already seen that people outside of Christ are dead in trespasses and sins, and all have sinned, so no one is excluded from that. So that means that sin has to be dealt with if we are to come to God. And of course, this is what it says here in verse 23 of chapter 6 in Romans. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the wages of sin, that which sin produces, that which you get from sin, is death, separation from God. There is no other conclusion we can make but that without Christ, man would be doomed. Without Christ, men and women would, as the Bible says, perish. And that's why in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, perish obviously indicates that if people stay in sin, if they don't believe on Christ, if they stay in sin, they will inevitably remain separated from God. And the Bible says the wicked, of course, talking about all those who are in sin, are turned into hell. That is scriptural, and that is something that we should not try to explain away. But we should say, this is the reality. This is where mankind is without Christ. So the wages of sin is death, it's separation from God. Of course, sin has affected the human body as well, to the extent that sooner or later we all die physically and our inner man separates from our outer man. So that's physical death. But where your inner man goes is determined by whether you believe the gospel now and act on the gospel now in this life. And if you've received Christ as your Lord and Saviour, if you've received Christ, then the Bible says he's given you power to become the sons of God. He's changed you. You've become a new creation in Christ. Look at Luke 2, verses 1 to 14. Now, this tells us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was good news, glad tidings, and should be received by everyone, and certainly should be preached by the church to show that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to sin. So the church is not just a social organisation that's set up to give out goodies for people at Christmas or in need. The church has a spiritual head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The church is the body of Christ and operates in the earth to present and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news, the glad tidings. And Luke chapter 2, we'll start from verse 1 and read to verse 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now that touches on Bible prophecy, but we don't have time to go into that. There's a lot of Bible prophecy fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now we see in verse 10 the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Shall be to all people, so here's a prophetic statement. And we can see that it's good tidings of great joy, great joy. If people knew of their desperate need for a Saviour, if they were able to see into the Spirit and see the putrid filth of sin, the blackness, the darkness that is keeping them separated from God, the stench that it gives, that sin, it must absolutely, spiritually, send up a horrible stench. If they only knew, if they would only understand, then they would see that this is indeed a great thing. Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. So the birth of Jesus was not just for Israel. The birth of Jesus is for all people. All people in all times. And certainly right to this time. And we see here in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And that's, of course, referring to peace between God and man. Okay? Peace between God and man. Goodwill toward men. Who has shown that goodwill? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So it's God who has shown that goodwill. Look in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. You know, the verses I'm going through are good verses to show those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Good verses for us to remember, if we're Christians, to remember and understand. Those who aren't Christians, well, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on him, receive him as your Saviour. And that has to be a willing decision from you. God's not going to force himself on you. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, notice what it says here.
But God commendeth his love toward us. This is the goodwill toward men. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It says wonderful words in these two verses. God commended his love toward us. He showed his love. You know, God loves mankind. He loves people. He loves you and me. He loves the church. And he has, while we were yet sinners, given the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Now think about that. A sinner is a servant of sin, dead in trespasses and sins, and has no desire to reach out to God. A sinner serves not God, but sin. That's the definition of a sinner, a person who serves sin. If you're a Christian, then by definition, you serve righteousness. You serve God. And we can see here that the very important thing that Christ did is die for us. He took our sins upon himself. He became our substitute. So when we receive him, we receive his righteousness, the gift of righteousness. We receive cleansing. And notice what it says in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified, made right in the sight of God by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Twofold thing there. There's wrath to be poured out on the planet Earth. We know that to be the Great Tribulation. We'll be saved from that. Also, there's wrath to be poured out on sin, and that's in hell, and ultimately in the lake of fire. So clearly, you don't want to go through the wrath of God. You don't want to go through the judgment, because the judgment on sin has to be, it's a legal thing, it has to be, otherwise God himself would be unrighteous. You know, the government can make a law, but if they don't enforce that law, of what use is it? You know, God has sent his only begotten Son to die for sinners. But if all people are saved, regardless of whether they believe on Christ, of what use was his death? We must see that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to make a decision for him and to say, I choose you. I receive you. And by doing that, you receive God's blessing in your life. The curse is changed. Around, you receive blessing. You receive, as I said before, things like the gift of righteousness, justification, cleansing, forgiveness, and many, many more things come through the death of through what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. He became a curse for us, the Bible tells us. Have a look at John 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. These are things to remember, to understand the birth of the Lord Jesus, that he came for a mission, he came to do something. The Bible calls him God manifest in the flesh. You see in John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when you received Christ, and as the Bible says, received him, what you received was the power to become a child of God. If you believe on his name, then you're believing something, aren't you? You're believing the gospel. You're believing what he stands for. You're believing that he is the Savior, that he saves people from their sins. You believe that he's alive today, that he was raised from the dead for you and me. And by doing that, by receiving him, you are born of God. As it says there in verse 13, you are born of God. You are born again. If you go to chapter 3, verses 14 to 21 of John, John chapter 3, 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we see the word perish there. That means that those who don't believe in him will perish. They won't have eternal life. But eternal life is given to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life means being connected with God, living with him forever in his kingdom. This is a wonderful thing, a joyful thing. And verse 16, we know this one, we should know it off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, there's that word perish again, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. The Bible talks about second death. Well, that'd be everlasting death, isn't it? Separated from God. We don't want that. But the way to avoid it is to believe in him. Acknowledge that God sent his only begotten Son. Acknowledge that Jesus is the Saviour. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't have to send his Son to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. It was dead in trespasses and sins. He sent his Son for the purpose that the world through him, not through any other way, but through him, might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So there you are, there's the condemnation problem solved. The condemnation due to sin. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So outside of Christ, you can see that you're not coming to the light. Outside of Christ, a society outside of Christ that rejects Christ does not come to the light. And the light is God. The light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. The people that turn to Christ, what do they do? What happens in their society? They doeth truth. And they come to the light constantly. They come to him. They want to know his will. The deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. In other words, you're doing the deeds of God. You're doing the will of God. The will of God. And we'll finish with John 3 verses 1 to 7, because this is absolutely crucial for us to understand that we have been changed. If we've believed on Christ, we've been changed in the inner man. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man on the inside of us. It also calls it the heart. And that's referring to the inner man, the spirit and soul, that has to be changed if we are to enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 1 to verse 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus went to the crucial issue. except a man be born again, he cannot, so you see that word, cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no ability to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus obviously didn't understand what he was saying. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This shows the thinking of mankind without Christ. They're thinking always along the lines of the flesh, along the lines of the natural. They don't think along the lines of the spiritual at all. But Jesus opens the way. He's merciful to Nicodemus here. He's showing the way for Nicodemus. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he's once again talking about the kingdom of God. And he's saying you have to be born of water. That's the waters of the womb. We know the waters of the womb in the first birth. We've heard the term the waters break. It's very close to when the child is to be delivered in the first natural birth that we all have. But he's saying to Nicodemus, you've got to be born naturally and you've got to go through this second birth of the Spirit, capital S there, that comes from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to go through two births to be eligible for the kingdom of God. And verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So once again, he's reiterating, he's saying what is the first birth, flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So the born again, you've got to be born again, as it says in verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Must. So we see there's some absolute words that Jesus uses in the first seven verses of John chapter 3. Anyone who has not received Christ is not born again, and so they cannot see the kingdom of God. But Jesus said you must be born again if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. If you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to understand God's ways, if you want to be blessed. Otherwise, people will stay in darkness, they'll stay in the curse, they'll stay in sin. So you cannot ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot ignore the fact that he was born. He was born for a purpose. And people ignore that at their peril. You cannot ignore that he grew up to be a man and that he died on the cross for mankind. Took our sins upon himself. He became sin, the Bible says. He became a curse. He became our substitute. And all we need to do is receive him. And if you've received him, then you have eternal life. You are born again. You've received him as your Lord and Saviour. If you've repented of your sins, said, I no longer want to be or go the way of a sinner. I want to be one of the righteous. I want to be justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So think on these things. And for those who are Christians, let me say to you, there is no greater purpose than to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there has been sin keeping you back from doing the will of God, you need to deal with that now. You need to get that out of your life. And that simply means you come before the Lord and acknowledge, Lord, I have been straying from you, but I want to come back to you. I want to do the right thing in your life, in your eyes. Help me, forgive me, cleanse me in the name of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, I praise you and thank you. I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus. He is wonderful. He is the wonderful Saviour. He is precious and his blood cleanses us from all sin. We thank you for that, Lord. We look forward to a wonderful life in Christ, to looking at things spiritually, having spiritual understanding, not just thinking along the lines of the flesh or along the lines of the natural things, but as you open your will to us through the Word of God, then we believe, we receive, and we act upon that, and we know there's blessing in that. We praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.